bimetallism ended by a political decision of the French Treasury to not exchange gold for silver anymore. They suspended the convertibility of silver coins. The question is why they did so.
In this program, what happens when one country can destabilize the global monetary system on a whim?
Had France maintained bimetallism, had they maybe agreed with Germany and other countries on a global bimetallic system, then most likely this period of deflation and monetary instability in the 1870s and 1880s would not have taken place. Hello, I'm Johannes Wiegand. I've been at the IMF for more than 20 years, working on all kinds of different things, especially financial crises and emerging markets. At the moment, I work in particular on the economics of climate change. I had a life before the IMF, so I was a journalist for about a year. And before that, I was teaching at the London School of Economics and did a PhD at University College London.
How interesting. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Johannes Wiegand is also a bit of a historian, with his research on bimetallism in the 19th century and Germany's adoption of the gold standard. His latest article on the topic, Gold, Silver, and Monetary Stability, is published in the March issue of Finance and Development magazine. So this article that you wrote in Finance and Development, it looks at some, you know, pivotal moments in the 19th century. But how did it come about that countries adopted precious metals as currency? I mean, how far back does that go?
Actually, it goes very far back. I think for most of human civilization, money has been metal coins. There's a good reason for this. Precious metals are scarce, naturally scarce, so they preserve value. And if you coin your money from precious metals, that means you guarantee stable value for the money that you create. Mm-hmm. It is really only an invention of the 20th century that we have abolished that, and today we use paper currency or so-called fiat currencies, which has to do with the development of capitalism becoming a much more complex system, for which the fairly rigid metal-based systems that we had in the 19th century and before were increasingly inadequate. But in the 19th century, it was still very much the standard that countries used precious metals as the basis for the currencies, and paper money actually had a bad reputation. Hmm. In the French Revolution, for example, in the late 18th century, the government experimented with paper currencies in order to finance war expenditures, and that ended in hyperinflation, and that threw back efforts to introduce paper currency in advanced economies for many decades.
Hmm. So here we are with precious metals as currency in the 19th century, and it's all sort of coming to a head. Why do some countries choose gold and others silver upon which to base their economies?
That's a very interesting question, and I'm not sure there are final answers to this. So the first country that moved to a gold currency in the modern age was the UK, the United Kingdom. The director of the mint at the time was a certain Sir Isaac Newton, who put in place a system by which the money of the UK was based on gold. But for a long time, the UK was the only country that did so. It is in the 19th century that France adopted bimetallism, so they had a joint standard of both gold and silver currencies. And in the 19th century, a dynamic evolved by which more and more countries became interested in gold currencies. And economic historians have been debating the reasons behind this for a long time. One explanation is that simply economies grew so much and you needed so much more money that silver became impractical to settle transactions. It was too heavy. It required too large amounts of silver in order to settle, for example, transactions in international trade, and gold was more convenient for that. And for a long time, these theories dominated, and there was a view that in the end, the switch to the gold standard was inevitable, but actually research in the past 30 years has shown that it wasn't. So silver, for the most part, worked just as well as gold as a currency metal. The difficulties with higher weight and volume were circumventable. Hmm. And it was really the political developments that made countries abolish silver and finally adopt the gold standard in the late 19th century.
Hmm. It's interesting. And you mentioned there bimetallism. So I have to admit that I had to look that up, actually. And I was surprised to see how much influence France had because of bimetallism on monetary stability, essentially. How did that all come about?
So it came about almost by accident, I would think. I talked earlier about the hyperinflation during the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. That made the French population very averse to paper currencies. And therefore, Napoleon, when he came to power, he pegged again the French franc to precious metals. But he pegged it to both. He guaranteed a fixed exchange value of the franc vis-a-vis a certain amount of silver. And he guaranteed a fixed exchange value vis-a-vis a certain amount of gold. And why this came about, I don't think, I may be wrong, but I don't think economic historians have really a convincing answer for that. Maybe because they had so bad experiences with the paper money, they wanted to be safe and to double tie the currency to two metals rather than only one. I don't know. What also happened is that after the French Revolution, the French population also didn't want to hold paper money. And that's an interesting thing. Many other countries based their currencies on gold or silver, but in reality, they wrote kind of checks to one another, which were backed by gold and silver, and therefore they exchanged a lot of paper currency still, in which they settled transactions. They were only backed up by gold or silver on demand. Well, in France, people really used specie, as we say, so metal coins, as means of payment. And therefore, a large share, I think it's about a quarter of the global share in metal currency actually was circulating in France. Mm. In terms of either gold or silver coins, and that allowed France to play the stabilizing role in global bimetallism, which it did for most of the 19th century.
That's so interesting. So like they established, France established, or Napoleon essentially established the exchange rate between gold and silver, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
And so how does this work in terms of trade? Like, you know, France sells wine to Spain. Spain pays in what, gold or silver? And like, I don't know, does Spain work in gold or does Spain work in silver at that point? How does that exchange actually happen?
So I believe in the 19th century, Spain, if I'm not mistaken, used silver currencies. Mm-hmm. Portugal, though, used the gold currency. So the way how bimetallism worked is that the French mint guaranteed these fixed exchange values. So everybody could bring silver or gold to the mint and get a certain amount of coined French francs in return. Yeah, and that meant when, for example, there was a lot of inflow of, say, silver into France, and that means if, you know, if there's a lot of quantity of something, it tends to generate inflation. So that tended to be silver inflation. Silver tended to lose value. People could bring the silver to the mint, and they got a fixed exchange rate for it, and they could even then use the fixed exchange rate with gold in order to exchange the silver for gold. Yeah. And that meant as long as the mint had gold or silver, so as long as there were gold and silver coins both circulating in France, France could play this role as the global arbiter of the bimetallic system and guarantee the fixed exchange rate between gold and silver currencies.
Wow. So how does bimetallism fail? Why does it fail?
So this is a topic on which many articles have been written about, in particular in the past 30 years, I would say. As I said earlier, there was a view it was kind of technological constraint. Silver was inconvenient, and at some point, countries just abolished silver for gold. Bimetallic France did, Germany did, which was in a silver standard, and other countries. There has been a few seminal articles, mm-hmm. some of them written by a French historian, Marc Flandreau, mm-hmm. who have looked into this more closely. And bimetallism ended in 1873. And it really ended by a political decision of the French Treasury to not exchange gold for silver anymore. They suspended the convertibility of silver coins. And Flandreau showed that this had been really not necessary. So France could have maintained global bimetallism for many more years. The question is why they did so. And one answer is that they had just lost the Franco-Prussian War to Germany. Germany had unified. Germany wanted to introduce a gold currency. In order to get rid of its silver and get a gold currency, they would sell the silver to France and buy the gold from France. And France didn't want to help Germany in advancing its currency reform.
So because they had just lost the war to Germany.
They had just lost the war. They had no interest in making currency reform easier for Germany than it had to be. So they abolished the bond between gold and silver currencies, and that basically meant Germany could sell the silver on which it was sitting only at a loss. It didn't get the guaranteed bimetallic exchange rate any longer. So that, I think, is the immediate explanation why bimetallism ended. There are other questions that come before that, though. So why did actually Germany want to move from silver to gold? And that's something I've been looking into a bit more closely in sort of my research. The fact is that bimetallism worked quite well in the early 19th century, but from around 1850, there were massive gold discoveries in California, in Australia, also in Russia, and suddenly the amount of gold that was coming into currency markets was increasing massively. And by the way, how the bimetallic system worked, all this gold came to France. It ended up in French currency circulation, and silver was crowded out of French currency circulation. And the share of gold coins in French circulation increased from about 30% in 1850 to 85% in 1865. Wow. And if that would have gone to 100%, then France would have no longer been able to stabilize global bimetallism.
Because there was no more exchange.
It had no, would have had no silver left to exchange. So France would have become a gold country, and the exchange rate between gold and silver currencies would have broken. And for Germany, which was on a silver currency, that was very risky. They didn't want to have floating exchange rates with the UK or with France or with the US, which had also adopted gold in the meantime, not exactly in the mid-1860s because they had a civil war and temporarily went to a paper currency, but de facto the US had also to be counted as a gold country. Germany thought it would be on silver together with all the other, at the time, emerging economies, while all the other advanced economies would be using gold, and that was a risk that you know, many currency experts and also policymakers in Germany did not want to take. So from the mid-1860s, there are a lot of proposals in Germany how to get rid of silver and move to either gold or bimetallic currency. But all these proposals didn't work because they would have needed France to collaborate.
Right.
And Germany was not certain whether France would be willing to collaborate. Would France be willing to buy all the silver that Germany needed to get rid of? And would it sell Germany the gold that it would need to introduce a gold currency or bimetallic currency?
So what's in it for France?
Exactly. What's in it for France? Other than, you know, maybe having some interest in having stable exchange rate relations with Germany itself. Mm. But whether France would be amenable to that or not was at least highly uncertain. So in the end, German policymakers did not move ahead with that. But then came the Franco-Prussian War that Germany won. And they occupied Paris, the Prussian troops, and they imposed a large indemnity on France that, among other things, could be paid in silver coins. Hmm. So now, suddenly, it would not have been in France's interest under any circumstances to abolish bimetallism because it would have devalued the silver coins that they wanted to use to pay the indemnity. And in this situation, Germany moved forward and introduced the gold currency, which then in turn gave rise to the French response a couple years later.
Wow. It's an incredible story. And so this shift, now we've dropped bimetallism essentially and shifted to a gold standard. Was the gold standard any better in terms of, you know, maintaining monetary stability?
So this is a very good question, because in the late 19th, early 20th century, the gold standard became almost synonymous with monetary stability. But what is almost forgotten today is that it was a rocky road to get there. Let me go one step back. First, the theoretical arguments. What is better for monetary stability? A monometallic system based only on one metal or a bimetallic system based on several metals? Mm-hmm. And here the theoretical answer is quite clear. A bimetallic system is better. And it is better because you have shocks to the supply of these metals, which affect your money supply. Therefore, they affect your inflation rate and your monetary stability. If you have only one metal, any shock will go one-to-one into your money supply. If you have two currency metals, they're affected by different shocks and they can partly offset one another. So very renowned monetary economists like Milton Friedman have concluded bimetallism was better for monetary stability than the gold standard. Hmm. In practice, the early years of the gold standard were very difficult. And that is because so many countries switched to gold at the same time. Germany switched to gold. France abolished the bimetallic currency and switched to gold. Several other countries in Europe felt compelled to switch to gold at the same time, like the Netherlands or the Scandinavian countries. And it meant suddenly there was a lot of demand for gold and no demand for silver. And if there's a lot of demand for something, its price goes up. That means the result was deflation. And the 1870s and also the early 1880s are deflationary periods in European monetary history, which had quite severe impact on economic activity. You know, suddenly you had high real interest rates. High real interest rates were weighing on debt levels. They were inhibiting investment. Wow. So in the early days, you could not say that the gold standard was very good for monetary stability. That changed then in the late 1880s, 1890s, when there was another round of gold discoveries in South Africa. Lots of gold came again into global specie markets and ended up in currency circulation. And then the deflation gave rise to a mildly inflationary period, which lasted until World War I. And that was a very good period for monetary stability. So it really depends on the circumstances, whether the gold standard is good for stability or not. In the interwar period between the First and the Second World War, it was, again, very bad for monetary stability. Basically, countries tried to re-erect the gold standard and couldn't get it done. And there are people, like very well-known economic historians like Barry Eichengreen, who say that sticking too long to trying to re-erect the gold standard really facilitated and amplified the Great Depression.
And so eventually the gold standard, I mean, today the gold standard is behind us and we're on a different system. And it just goes to show that regardless of the monetary system, bimetallism, gold standard, or whatever the system may be, it'll only work if people want it to work. So what does that say about international cooperation when it comes to financial stability?
Yeah, I think it tells us global monetary stability is a global public good. And it requires a degree of international cooperation under any circumstances to make global monetary and financial stability work. Essentially, this is where the IMF exists. The IMF was put in place as an institution to watch over global monetary and financial stability. And that reflects the lessons of the first half of the 20th century and to some degree also of the late 19th century, that without international cooperation, you can provoke enormous bouts of monetary instability, as was the case in the 1870s when the world moved from bimetallism to the gold standard. Had France maintained bimetallism, had they maybe agreed with Germany and other countries on a global bimetallic system, which at least technically would have been feasible, whether it's politically feasible is another question, technically would have been feasible, then most likely this period of deflation and monetary instability in the 1870s and 1880s would not have taken place.
Johannes Wiegand is an advisor in the Strategy, Policy and Review Department at the IMF. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Johannes Wiegand talking about his latest article, Gold, Silver and Monetary Stability, published in the March issue of Finance and Development magazine. Check it out at imf.org/FND. And look for more IMF podcasts on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards. Thanks for listening.